On this week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports the Podcast, we're going to break down the brackets for the Section 2 boys and girls basketball tournaments. We're going to take a look at what's going on with the Section 2 Division 1 hockey playoffs. And we'll take a look at what's going on in other Section 2 sports as we head down the home stretch of the winter sports season. This is Rob Jonas from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com, and welcome to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. The brackets for the Section 2 boys and girls basketball playoffs were determined on Wednesday, and I've got them here in front of me, and let's go over them class by class, starting with boys basketball in Class AA. Well, first and foremost, it should be noted that the number one overall seed Bethlehem did suffer its first loss of the season, but unlike my prediction from last week's episode where I said they would lose to Troy, they actually lost to CBA on the same day that the brackets came out. It didn't affect their seeding, of course, nor did it impact CBA seeding, but it was still an interesting development nonetheless. So, Bethlehem is number one overall seed in Class AA. Saratoga's got the number two seed, Shenandoah has number three seed, and CBA rounds out the top four. Looking over the brackets, I would say right now, probably the most intriguing matchup, at least in the early rounds, would be a quarterfinal matchup between the number four seed CBA Brothers and the number five seed Green Tech Eagles. Green Tech is a young team. I've seen them play a couple of times. When they're on, they're as good as anybody in Class AA. When their shots aren't falling, though, things get a little rough for them. CBA is coming into this tournament having won 8 out of their last 9 games, but again, CBA, they've been a bit streaky as well this season. They did have a point earlier in the year where they lost a few games, so CBA has certainly recovered since then. If I had to predict, I would give CBA the edge over Green Tech in that matchup, and there's a good reason why I want to give CBA that edge over Green Tech. It's because when all is said and done in Class AA, I looked it all over and I think CBA is going to get to the final. As long as they play like a team, because they have the talent, they just need to all be working together out there to get things done. If they can just maintain that level that allowed them to win 8 out of their last 9 regular season games, I think there's a strong possibility they will be in the final at the Cool Insuring Arena up in Glens Falls on March 2nd. I don't think that win over Bethlehem was a fluke by any stretch. On the other side of the bracket, I fully expect there to be a semifinal matchup between Saratoga and Shenandoah, and I will actually take the Blue Streaks over the Plainsmen in that matchup, which would give us a championship game between CBA and Saratoga. Saratoga's been the more consistent team, but I just like how CBA is playing, and I'm going to make the bold prediction here that CBA gets the job done and beats Saratoga for the Class AA title. Class AA, your number one overall seed is Troy after almost running the table in the Suburban Council. They did lose to Bethlehem, but they still wound up with a very, very good 19-1 record. Or, I'm sorry, 18-2. Forgot they had a non-league loss in there. Number two seed is Gloversville. Number three seed is Avery Park. And McKeel Christian, which was playing in Class B last year, has moved up to Class A. They're the number four overall seed. I think probably the most intriguing early matchup will be McKeel against number five seed Lansingburg in the quarterfinals. McKeel graduated some key players from last year's team that got all the way to the state championships. So they're a little bit vulnerable this year, although moving up to Class A does help them. Lansingburg, this is a team that a lot of people early in the season thought had a good chance of making some noise, and I think they definitely do. When all is said and done, I think Lansingburg will find a way to beat McKeel. I just think McKeel, they're a little bit young this year, and I think Lansingburg, you know, returning as many players as they did from last year's team, I think they can actually get past McKeel and get into the semifinals. That being said, there's really only one finals matchup that I think really all Section 2 deserves, and that is a Troy versus Gloversville matchup in the final. You have to understand, Troy has been extremely good in the Suburban Council this year. I like the fact that they have two amazing offensive talents in Latisse Faison and Nazir Merritt. I think those two guys are probably, I'd say, among the best players in Section 2 as far as the large schools go. That being said, Gloversville, they've only had two losses the entire year. Both of them have been against Glens Falls, who we'll get to in a minute. But Gloversville, they too have two extremely talented scorers in Dante Bouchard and Joseph Robach, or Robach. I always have trouble pronouncing that last name a little bit, but anyway. I mean, those two guys can go toe-to-toe with Faison and Merritt. I think it would be an excellent matchup. I hope it happens. I think it will happen. In the end, I think Troy, having played, you know, very well in Suburban Council this year, probably has a little bit of an edge in terms of playing in very close games. I'm going to go with the Flying Horses over Gloversville. That's my prediction. Now, Class B, I told you we're going to Glens Falls. Glens Falls, they are the number one overall seed in Class B. Pardon me. Chalmers is number one overall seed in Class B, but Glens Falls is a very close number two. I knew I was going to get myself a little bit of trouble with that. Anyway, so you got Chalmont number one, Glens Falls at number two, Wavelete's your number three, and rounding out the top four seeds is Catskill out of the Patroon Conference. Honestly, I don't really see much that could possibly prevent a finals matchup between Chalmont and Glens Falls this year. I know Chalmont had a bit of a hiccup when they lost to LaSalle, but with Shane O'Dell running the show there and LJ Randall providing plenty of support and a good strong cast of role players surrounding them, I think Chalmont's going to probably breeze through the upper half of this bracket. Glens Falls, obviously Joseph Girard III, he's going to carry the Indians on his back. Honestly, I don't think that there are too many teams on the lower half of this bracket that could beat Glens Falls. Wavelete's probably the closest, but even there, I just think that they would have too much difficulty containing JG3 to have really a legitimate shot here. So we should get the finals matchup that, you know, we figure it'll be, which will be Glens Falls and Chalmont. This one is just going to be predicated really on what the supporting casts can do in this game, because honestly, Odell's going to have a big game for Chalmont. You can pretty much write that down right now. Likewise, JG3 is going to probably score 40 or 50 points. There's really not much either side can do on, you know, to slow down those two scores. It's going to come down to what can the others contribute. In the end, I have a distinct feeling that Glens Falls is going to avenge last year's semifinal loss to Chalmont. I think they will find a way to beat Chalmont in the final, but it's going to be an extremely entertaining game to watch and exciting as well. So we're going to go with Glens Falls over Chalmont there. In the C's, well, your number one seed there is Lake George. No surprise, they've won 48 straight games. They are the number one ranked team in New York State among Class C teams. Not to be redundant there. But there was never any doubt that Lake George was going to be the number one seed. Number two, Hoosick Falls. Number three, Maple Hill. Number four, in a, maybe a little bit of a mild surprise, Chatham. They chose them over Mayfield at number five, but that really could have gone either way. Honestly, again, there is not a lot that's going to prevent us from having a final between the top two seeds. Lake George has just got so much going for them, especially down in the paint. I mean, if you haven't seen Lake George play, they've got two extremely talented big guys down low. Chris Pelcher and... Chris Becker, I'm sorry. And Mason Flatley. Those two guys, they're very difficult for any Class C team to stop because they are both very tall. They've got good length in terms of their wingspan. Really, they have a lot going for them. And Hoosick Falls, I mean, this is a team that they live and die pretty much from the perimeter. And that's what they would have to do in a matchup with Lake George, I think. They would have to really be on their game from around the three-point arc in order for them to have a chance, I think, of beating Lake George. I saw Lake George play Hoosick Falls up in the Cool Insuring Arena a few weeks ago. Lake George basically owned the first quarter and cruised to an easy win over Hoosick Falls. I don't know if the rematch, if we get that in the finals, is going to be really any different. I just think Lake George is by far and away the better team in Class C. I see Lake George wins this title. Then we get to Class D. And in Class D, the number one seed, I'm just going to go by their initials, OESJ. That stands for Oppenheim, Ephrata, St. Johnsville. But just call them OESJ for sake of brevity. They're the number one seed. Germantown's number two seed. Fort Ann is the number three seed. And Hartford is rounding up the top four. Class D, to me, you know, has been either the Adirondack League or Germantown the last several years. Adirondack League teams have won five of the last six Class D titles. Germantown has been the only other team really in the last 8 years that has won it. That being said, OESJ, they've got, you know, some really good players. Give me a moment. You know, the Wolfpack, they've got Tyler Leon, Jack Brundage, and Travis LaFountain. All of them are very capable of, you know, scoring 20 or more points in a game. That's the recipe for a Section 2 champion, I think. But tradition says if it's not a team from the Adirondack League, it's going to be Germantown, and Germantown has been very good this year. I don't know if this is going to happen, but I'm going bold with this one. I'm going to predict Germantown beating OESJ in the final. Just because history and tradition, recent history and tradition, suggests that if it's not going to be a team from the Adirondack League, it's going to be Germantown. I could be wrong about this, but I'm going to go with Germantown. So that's the boys basketball tournament brackets. When we come back, I'll go over the girls basketball tournament brackets here on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Welcome back to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, with me, Rob Jonas, from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. Well, that was a very lengthy segment on boys basketball. Well, get ready because we're going to go through the girls basketball tournament brackets. So, starting with Class AA, your top seed is Shenandoah, followed by Albany at number 2, Saratoga Springs at number 3, and rounding up the top 4, defending Section 2 champion Colony. Probably the most intriguing matchup in Class AA, I think, would be the semifinal matchup between Shen and Colony. I think that's what we're going to get. You know, Shen has been playing extremely well for most of the season. Colony has quietly built up a very good record as well. I think these two teams are probably somewhat even on the talent level, I would say. Colony didn't graduate that much from last year's team that won the Section 2 title. Shen's got a lot of players back as well, so you got a lot of playoff experience there. I think in the end, I think Shen will have maybe just a little bit more in terms of talent and scoring to knock off Colony and get to the final, where in all likelihood I'm going to say that it'll probably be Albany that will be the team that gets there on the other side of the bracket. So then you got, you know, Shen versus Albany in the final. Shen beat Albany by about 20 points when they met during the regular season. I don't know if it's going to be quite that one-sided in the rematch, but I do think Shen would beat Albany in the final, so I'm going to go with Shen over Albany in Class AA. In Class A, your number one seed, no surprise, Avril Park, which has basically run or ruled the roost, shall we say, over the last several years. At number 2, you've got Queensbury. Number 3, Amsterdam. And at number 4, Academy of Holy Names. The top half of the bracket should be fairly simplistic for Avril Park. I don't see them having any trouble with Holy Names in a semifinal matchup. Holy Names, even though they've done extremely well in the Colonial Council, I just don't think they have enough offense to hang with Avril Park. I'm sure that Holy Names will do whatever it can to kind of keep the score down, because that's really their best chance of maybe pulling off an upset. But I think Avril Park is just too talented. I just think Avril Park will beat Holy Names and get to the final. On the other side of the bracket, I certainly expect a semifinal matchup between Queensbury and Amsterdam, which wound up tying each other for the Foothills Council title. This is going to come down to whether or not Queensbury is healthy or not. Two of their starters, including leading scorer Hope Sullivan, missed like the last week or two of the regular season with ankle injuries. And it didn't really affect Queensbury too much until they met Amsterdam, which was last week, I believe. And Amsterdam was able to pull off the win at Queensbury. Amsterdam's got a lot of talent too. You know, they've been to the Section 2 final each of the last 2 years, only to lose to Avery Park. Honestly, this is something that could go either way, depending on what Queensbury's status is in terms of their overall health. If they're at full strength, I would anticipate Queensbury defeating Amsterdam. But if Hope Sullivan's not on that floor, if their starting point guard is not on that floor, she too had an ankle injury, Amsterdam could pull off another win over Queensbury. But ultimately, Avery Park, I think, just hands down is the best team in Class A. I think they get the job done yet again. Doesn't matter who they face in the final. I think the Warriors will once again represent Section 2 in the state playoffs. Class B. This is where anything can happen, I think, because the Class B field, they've got a lot of good teams, but no truly outstanding teams. Your top seed is Tamarack. Your number two seed is Mechanicville. Your number three seed is McKeel Christian. Yes, in girls basketball, they're Class B. In boys basketball, they're Class A. It can happen with private schools. And your number four seed is Voorheesville. Now, I do think there's some upset potentials on the top half of the bracket in the quarterfinal round. Voorheesville, I think they are kind of vulnerable at number four because really all their offense comes from Olivia Behringer. Now, granted, she is an extremely talented player. She averages, 20 or so points per game for a good reason. She's very dominant down the paint. But that supporting cast has been kind of suspect. And I think against a team like Fonda Fultonville, I think this could be one of those deals where Voorheesville, if that supporting cast can't produce enough points to support Behringer, it could kind of come back to haunt them. I get the feeling that Voorheesville could very well lose in the quarterfinal round, but I'm just double checking here or something. Yep, Fonda did win, so I think Fonda's got some talent. I think Fonda can beat Voorheesville. I wouldn't be surprised by it. And then another possible upset in the quarterfinal round, I think Waterville has a chance to beat Chalmont. Chalmont started off the season great. They've kind of faltered during the second half of the season. Also, Waterville did beat Chalmont earlier this year. It's not that Chalmont doesn't have talent. I think they have some great young players. Peyton Graber and Haley Burchard are going to be the ones that propel Chalmont, not just this year, but next year, and so forth. But I'm just have this gut feeling that Waterville is going to somehow beat Chalmont again in the quarterfinals. So, that being said, I think Tamarack will get through to the final. That's just what I kind of feel, because you got a really good scoring threat in Emily Erickson. You've got a good secondary scoring threat in Sarita Faraj. So, with those two kind of basically forming the core of that Tamarack team, I think they can get to the final. Who they would face? I'm going McKeel. I'm just going with McKeel. Look, last year, McKeel Christian got all the way to the Class C final before losing to Cambridge. I think they can find their way back in Class B this year because the field is that wide open. I know Mechanicville's tough, but McKeel, they've got some, players back from last year's team. I just think McKeel finds a way to get there. And then in the final, I'm going bold here. I'm going with McKeel. I just think that their strength of schedule and what they've done in the Western Athletic Conference will prepare, has prepared them for this moment, and I think they will knock off Tamarack. But again, Class B field is probably the most wide open field in the girls basketball tournament. Then we get to Class C. Oh, I said Class C was going to be interesting, and it sure is. Your number one overall seed is Cambridge. Your number two seed is Hoosick Valley. And I'll just say it right now, Cambridge and Hoosick Valley did split their regular season series with each other, so it's going to be interesting to see if those two do actually make it to the final. I don't think it's going to happen. I'll tell you why in just a couple moments. At number three, you've got Maple Hill. At number four, you've got Warrensburg. But the team you got to watch for, absolutely got to watch for, the sixth seed, Lake George. This team has won 15 games in a row. Actually, 16 games in a row. Missed one. Grayson Bennett has been absolutely, you know, the best player on that floor for Lake George all season. She was on a minutes restriction earlier in the year because she was coming off knee surgery, but now she's fully healed, and you can see what the impact has been for Lake George. I think Lake George has an excellent chance of getting through the bottom half of this bracket behind Grace Ann Bennett. If the supporting cast can do what it does and has done well during this winning streak, I think they can even knock off Hoosick Valley. I do. I really do. Not to say that Hoosick Valley nor Maple Hill at number three would be a surprise to get to the finals. Certainly not going to bet against either of those two. But Lake George, I'm telling you, there's a reason why they've been as successful as they've been down the stretch. So I'm going to take Lake George to get to the final. But the Phillips twins for Cambridge, they are, I think, the main reason why I'm going with Cambridge on this one. Last year, you know, those two, you know, Sophie and Lily, they utterly impressed me as freshmen leading Cambridge to the Class C title last year with that overtime win over McKeel. I think those two, now sophomores, they're veterans now, folks, and I just think that those two will find a way to lead Cambridge past Lake George in the final. Just, in my opinion, I like Cambridge. Which brings us to Class D. So, in Class D, your top seed is Fort Edward. Number two is Hartford. Number three is Notre Dame Bishop Gibbons. And North Warren rounds up the top four seeds. Now, in case you haven't heard that much about Fort Edward, they've basically been the dominant team in Class D for a while now. And this year, it's been no different. They went 13-1 within the Adirondack League. They did struggle outside of the league schedule, but then again, you know, when you're Fort Edward, you want to try to play up so that you're ready for Section 2 playoffs. My dark horse in the D's, if you can really call them a dark horse, is Bishop Gibbons. They've they've done well against Class D teams. They've had some struggles against Class C teams. But basically, I just like the fact that I think they're kind of prepared this year. I know they lost, you know, a key player early in the year to a knee injury. They've had some other injury issues. But they've won five out of their last six. And I just don't know if there's any magic left with Hartford. I mean, Hartford has been one of those teams that almost routinely gets to the Class D semis or finals. But I don't know if they can get past Bishop Gibbons this year. So I'm going to put Bishop Gibbons in final against Fort Edward, but ultimately I'm going to go with the Flying Forts to win another Class D title and just keep this dynasty going. So there you have it. The five classes of the Section 2 Girls Basketball Tournament broken down for you. I'm going to take another break, and when we get back, I'm going to just rifle through the hockey seeds and also talk a little bit about what's going on in other sports, including skiing, gymnastics, and bowling, right here in Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Welcome back to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, with me, Rob Jonas, editor of CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. If you made it this far and you still want to listen to the rest of the podcast, congratulations. I'm glad that you decided to stick around for this segment because, quite frankly, after all that basketball, I don't know how much of a voice I got left. Whew. Anyway, hockey. Yes, because I am a big hockey fan. Especially in Section 2. Well, the playoff brackets have been determined for Division 1. Division 2, I mean, Queensbury, well, you know, they are the only Division 2 team, so they get to go on to the state tournament. So good luck to the Spartans there. Basically, the Division 1 brackets follow along the way of how things wrapped up in the Capital District High School Hockey League. Your top four seeds. At number one, Bethlehem, your regular season league champion. At number two, Shenandoah, which surged all the way up to a second place finish, only half a point behind Bethlehem. At number three, you got Saratoga. And at number four, in a bit of a tiebreaker, it's CBA. The brothers, of course, had a regular season win over the team that they tied with in the league standings, Albany Academy. So the brothers get the number four seed, and Albany Academy gets the number five seed. Doesn't really matter. They're just going to play each other anyway. So it's just a matter of who gets the host, and in this case, it will be CBA. So just looking at the way the brackets are going here, I mean, Bethlehem should get themselves into the final on the top half of this bracket. They've beaten CBA. They've beaten Albany Academy this year. The only teams that would have given them any trouble or possible roadblocks going into the final, they're on the other side of the bracket. That would be Shen, and that would be Bernholz Boston Spa. Shen defeated Bethlehem 4-3 back in December. Bernholz Boston Spa owns a 7-4 win over Bethlehem, and when they had their rematch, they wound up playing to a 2-2 tie. So it's really the lower half of the bracket where things could get interesting. I mean, I do expect Bernholz Boston Spa to beat the Capital District Jets in the opening round. But that being said, this Bernholz Boston Spa team has been a Jekyll and Hyde act. They start off being this great offensive team, and then lately the offense has just not been there when they played within the league. the defense has been stellar during the stretch, but it hasn't gotten them into the win column against anybody from the league in quite a while. That being said, they'll be matching up against Saratoga Springs. Anything really can happen in a hockey game, to be honest. But I think Saratoga will defeat Bernal's Boston Spa there. Shen should get past either LaSalle or Adirondack. And then you got a semifinal matchup with Shen and Saratoga. I mean, throw everything out when you got those two teams playing against each other, because it's a rivalry game. Those two teams are just going to, you know, go at it for three periods, might even take overtime. Ultimately, the final that I think we'll see will be Bethlehem and Shen, but it could be Bethlehem and Saratoga. If it is Bethlehem and Saratoga, I would say Bethlehem should win that one. If it's Bethlehem versus Shen, though, again, you may have to throw away the records and what happened during the regular season. When I saw Shen play way back at this scrimmage that they did during the month of August up at the Cool Insuring Arena, it was just a one-day, or no, it was a three-day showcase up there. Shen looked really, really strong. Then they had a few hiccups coming out of the gate, but then they beat Bethlehem 4-3. That was a game where Shen scored three power play goals. Bethlehem has been working on his penalty kill ever since, and they've gotten it, you know, to the point now where they've got one of the best penalty kills I've seen. But realistically speaking, if it's Bethlehem versus Shen, the biggest key factor is for Bethlehem trying to stay out of that penalty box, because as good as that penalty kill is, if they have to keep relying on it during the course of that game, Shen might very well steal that victory again. But ultimately, I'm going to go with Bethlehem. I just like that offense that Bethlehem has. I know Kent Layton is a great goaltender for Shen. I think he'll keep Shen in that game for certain against probably some fairly strong pressure from Bethlehem's offense. But I don't know. I don't think he can keep Bethlehem bottled up like he did the first time. I think Bethlehem finds a way to win that game. So for me, it's not a very long limb I'm going out on. I'm going to go with Bethlehem winning the Division I title. So having said that, let's move on to some other Section 2 news. Obviously, other sports have been wrapping up their regular seasons. Bowling just wrapped up its regular season this week with the conclusion of its class tournaments for boys bowling. Columbia will be representing Section 2 in the large school division at the state tournament after winning the Class A title. Lansingburg will be the small school rep after they won the Class B title. Saratoga Central Catholic won the Class C title, but they couldn't really touch Lansingburg's pin total of 5,912. I mean, Saratoga Catholic gave it a good run. They got over 5,600 pins knocked down at the Class C/D tournament, but that wasn't nearly enough to prevent Lansingburg from winning the team title there. Over in gymnastics, Saratoga claimed its 18th consecutive Section 2 title on Wednesday over Shaker High School. Again, not a big surprise. Saratoga has been the dominant program. but they've been... Well, basically, they've just been that good. And Laura Eberlein was the one who led the way for Saratoga with a all-around score of 36.600, followed by Ava Dallas, who also recorded an all-around score over 36 points, and Sofia Damiano placed third, also with a score over 36 points. So you can see how dominant Saratoga really is. Eberlein won three of the four individual apparatus. The only one that she did not win was four exercise. That was won by her teammate, Ava Dallas. So, congratulations to Saratoga Springs on yet another successful gymnastics season. On the ski slopes, Section 2 held its Alpine and Nordic championships this week at the same site where the state tournaments will be held this year, which is Gore Mountain. That's a bit of a trip from here, but I might make my way up there for covering those tournaments as well. But getting back to sectionals, on the downhill side, the Alpine side, your 62 champs are Shenandoah on the girls' side and Saratoga Springs on the boys' side. Saratoga beat out Shenandoah and Niskayuna for the boys' team title. It was relatively close on that front. Tyler Munter and Matthew Mokel were your top two skiers on the giant slalom, both from Saratoga Springs. On the slalom slope, slalom competition, Hunter Montgomery from Queensbury took first place, with Evan Toman from CBA taking second. In the girls, as I mentioned, Shenandoah won the girls' downhill skiing title in rather convincing fashion. They finished with 37 points. Johnstown was second with 63 points, and Queensbury finished third with 68. But truly the star on the girls' side was Schuylerville Green Witch's Hannah Klingbeil. She won both the giant slalom and the slalom to earn berths to the state championships as an individual. Then we had the Alpine Skiing Championships take place on Valentine's Day, and not really any surprises here. Mayfield edged out Queensbury for the girls' team title. And on the boys' side, Queensbury dominated. They wound up with three of the top five skiers on the boys' side to ease past Lake George for the boys' team title. Your individual champions on the girls' side, again, not a surprise. Madison Relier from Mayfield, who was already qualified for the National Junior Championships, which will be taking place next month all the way in Anchorage, Alaska. She easily won the Section 2 title with a time of 24 minutes and 33.2 seconds. Next closest was Queensbury's Bailey Gangle. She finished with a time of 25 minutes, 24.2 seconds. So, not very close. And on the boys' side, your individual champion from Queensbury, Lucas Jenkin. He finished with a time of 34 minutes, 56.7 seconds. Hadley Luzerne's Eric Schreiner was second with a time of 35 minutes and 4 seconds. So that was a bit of a closer race, but ultimately Jenkin takes home the Section 2 title there. So congratulations to all those Section 2 skiers, and good luck at States. They'll be in your backyard this year, so hopefully that home course advantage will come into play for Section 2. before I wrap things up here on this mammoth edition of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, I know I haven't talked anything about wrestling yet, and I know that the Section 2 Wrestling Championships did take place last weekend up in Glens Falls. I want to wait until after the at-large bids are submitted for next weekend's State Wrestling Championships, which will be at the Times Union Center in Albany, before I talk any further about what happened at the Section 2 Wrestling Championships, because I don't want to leave anybody out. Okay? So, that will be a topic for next week's edition of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, along with, obviously, basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs, and indoor track. So, I'm going to wrap things up this week. This is Rob Jonas from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com, reminding you that if there are any comments that you want to make about this week's episode, any suggestions for future episodes, please email me at editor@CapitalRegionHSSports.com, and I'll be glad to respond. So, again, this is Rob Jonas from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. See you next week.